Amen. Praise our King, Jesus. We have no other king but King Jesus. And we are part of his great kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, come to this earth. And this is a season, and I mentioned it at the beginning of the service, where we're reminded that we're all part of a great big kingdom of Christ. We get to partner with other believers for the sake of Christ in our community. And there are two particular churches in this season that really partner so closely with us. Georgiana Methodist Church, just down the street. Pastor Corky is the pastor there, a good buddy of mine for a long time, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Corky. We want to pray for Georgiana as we're partnering together with them. Pray for God's blessing to be poured out on our brothers and sisters there. And another church that's so close with us during this time of year and partnering for the sake of Christ in our community is Church of Vieira. Church at Vieira is led by Pastor Mark Ragsdale, and we want to pray for Pastor Mark and the team there. We're so grateful that we're not the only church in town, right? That Jesus is, right? Yeah, there you go. That's better. We're so grateful for our brothers and sisters. Church down the street that loves Jesus and is preaching the gospel. That's our family, not our competition. And we want Jesus to be proclaimed and glorified in them. So would you bow your heads, church? Let's make our prayer and ask his blessing over our brothers and sisters. Father, we thank you that in Christ we are one. One with you and one with one another. Lord, we pray that the church of Jesus Christ would be united as one, the way that Jesus says in the text we'll look at today. That God, not only us in this room, but we with our brothers and sisters around this community, that there'd be something really different, really special that would take place. By the power of your Spirit, would you unite us together as one, that this community would see your love displayed in us. God, as we talk about turkey drives and toy drives and coming together to love the marginalized women through Agape Women's Center, Father, those who desperately need the love of Jesus in their lives, God, I pray that you would fill your body with power to live out the love of Christ in this community. Lord, I thank you for Pastor Mark and Church of Vera. I thank you for Pastor Corky and Georgiana. I thank you for their kindness, their love, their commitment to the gospel. And I pray that those brothers and sisters, as they're gathered right now, would be experiencing the power of your Spirit among them. Lord, bless them, I pray, that they would see Jesus and that Jesus would be seen in them, just like we pray for ourselves today. So lead us, Father. Jesus, teach us to pray. And Lord, we ask that you'd be glorified in us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn, please, to John 17, and really encourage you to actually have your Bibles open there before you. If you're using a device, you can look up the English Standard Version, John 17. The English Standard Version is the version of the scriptures I'll be reading from this morning in John 17. Now, I was thinking this week, I've spent nearly 50 years in the church, considering I was born into a pastor's family. And I've got to tell you, in nearly five decades of Christianity, I've witnessed God do amazing things in and through the prayers of his people. I got to see a front row seat to my mom and dad, who are people of deeply committed prayer. I've seen Jesus show up in their lives through the power of Christ in their prayers. And so I've seen some amazing things in the lives of people around me through prayer. But I've also picked up some lessons that I would say are less than helpful along the way. For instance, for many years, I sat through pretty long prayer request sessions in Sunday school, and I've heard prayer requests from everything concerning CD players to soap opera characters, and I've often wondered, what in the world are we doing? And I've learned some unfortunate lessons there. One, we are often not praying in alignment with the truth of the Bible. And sadly, that's been an experience many of us have had. We've heard requests that drive to a heart of something that doesn't necessarily feel like it jives with the heart of Scripture. We hear people asking for things. I find myself sometimes asking for things that aren't quite aligned with what we see revealed in the scriptures. I've also learned through that process that oftentimes we have a tendency to talk a lot about prayer, but pray very little. As a kid, I'd listen to the prayer request time at the beginning of every Sunday school, and I'm not bashing prayer request time. I know many of you had it this morning, and God bless you as you did, and I think we should request prayer from one another. But it struck me oftentimes that we would spend a large portion of time recording prayer requests and a much smaller amount of time actually praying. And there's something that was deep down in me for all of those years that I believe was the Holy Spirit and what I was seeing in the scriptures that was just stirring in me that there is another way, a better way maybe for us to approach prayer. Not that request-driven prayer is wrong in and of itself, but that there would be something deeper like worship and the truth of scripture that would drive our prayers and then inform our requests. And that's what this series we've been in on prayer is all about. This is the sixth week, our final week of a study on prayer from the life of Jesus. And we've seen a lot of what Jesus has to say about prayer. We studied his teaching on fasting, his teaching on persistence in prayer. We saw his pattern of going to desolate places and praying to the Father. Last week, we looked at the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible, John 17, where we'll be again this morning. We saw the priorities that Jesus has for us as his people in prayer. And as we conclude our series on prayer, I've felt led to use this final week as a time where we would pray together. I mean, we don't want to be people who talk about prayer but don't pray, right? Well, I don't care whether you feel like we should or not. I'm kidding. We don't want to be people who talk a lot about prayer but pray very little. As a matter of fact, I literally want us this morning to practice what I've preached. So let's just remind ourselves the very first lesson that we saw in this series of praying in the school of prayer with Jesus. We looked at the model prayer that Jesus gave us. It's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Most all of you have heard this. Even if you're just visiting or new to Christianity, this is the model prayer of Christ in Matthew 6. He says, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We talked about that in depth. And what we learned as we were looking at this passage of scripture is that Jesus isn't just giving us the words of a specific prayer to pray, even though this is a great prayer to specifically pray. What he's giving to us is also a pattern for how we pray. And I shared with you a specific way to remember that pattern that I learned from a pastor named Daniel Henderson of Strategic Renewal, a ministry of renewal and prayer. And here's the pattern: upward, downward, inward, outward. And I just want to remind you what that means. Prayer first begins with looking upward in reverence to who God is. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is the part of prayer that's worship, that's praise, that's thanksgiving. It's where we begin, not saying, "Here's what I want from God," but starting with, "Here's who God is that I desire to praise and worship." Prayer then moves downward, and not just reverence, but in response to God. That's where we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." This is the place in prayer that we trust him. This is where we rejoice in his promises, and we ask that our lives would be aligned with his kingdom purposes and his agenda. It's where we would say, "Lord, my life belongs to you, so I submit my whole life to your will, not mine. And even as I make these requests, I make them in submission, saying, your will, not mine." Prayer then moves inward to that place of request where we ask God to supply everything that we need according to his will. That's where we say, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." What we're doing is we're asking God to strengthen in us with his power, with Christ in us, something that is a resource that we need to live out the life he's called us to live. In other words, daily bread to give us strength to live for his glory, his kingdom, and in alignment with his will. And oftentimes that requires his grace in relationship with other people. So we talked about requests that focus on resources, what we need to live in alignment with God's will each day, and relationships, the grace to live out the forgiveness and love of God toward one another. That's inward requesting daily bread from God. And then prayer moves outward. It'd be wonderful if we could spend all day in those closets of quiet prayer, but we have to move out into the rest of our life. And so prayer looks outward into the rest of our life by asking God for readiness as we face spiritual battles that wait us every day. It's where we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is how we lean into God for his grace to overcome the patterns and traps of temptation and sin in our own lives and the attack of our spiritual enemy that's sure to come every single day. That's the pattern that Jesus gives us of prayer. Upward, downward, inward, outward. And that pattern in and of itself is enough, y'all, to give each of us a renewal in our lives of prayer. It keeps us from saying the same old things about the same old things. Because if you will simply open up your Bibles and read your Bibles with that pattern in mind, asking, what is this telling me about God? And when you learn and see a truth about God there, you upward in worship to God and downward in response to what the Bible reveals about him. When you come to him for requests, you look at what the Bible says that he desires to give his children who ask him, or what he wants for our lives, and you lean into the scriptures and align your requests with the heart of God from scriptures. It moves outward by seeing in the text of scripture how it is that the enemy will attack, or seeing those places where our world is not in alignment with what God says in his word, and we ask him for strengthening and protection as we live in that. Just open your Bibles and pray. As you read a passage, a verse or two, pray inward that God would work in you. Pray outward that God would spare, protect you from the temptation of the enemy. Upward, downward, inward, outward. That's the pattern of prayer. And the passage of scripture that we're going to do that with this morning is the one we studied last week, John 17. John 17 is a scripture we talked about and did an overview study of last week. And I'm going to read John 17. And I pray you've been praying through this as I asked you to do for this last week. But we're going to look at John 17 and be thinking about those four patterns of prayer, those parts of the pattern, upward, downward, inward, and outward. Maybe make a note alongside where you see those truths about God or those ways that Jesus prays for the strengthening power of God in our lives. So with that, let's look at John 17 and get our text that will be the foundation for our praying together this morning. Verse 1, Jesus says, the word says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you've given me is from you. For I've given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I'm praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you've given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you've given me. I've guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you've given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you that you've sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of God for us as we make our time of prayer together. And I just want to walk very quickly through that pattern that we learned from the Lord's Prayer. Upward, downward, inward, outward. And I want to show you some things from the prayer of Jesus here in John 17 that inform how we then can follow that pattern, starting with upward. It's that question, what does this passage teach us or tell us about God? Look at your scripture, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Now, there are other things you can find in this passage that teach us about who God is and what God's like, but just a few that I laid out for us is that he's our Father who's worthy of glory. You find that he's also the Son. Jesus is God, and he's the King who has all authority. And through Jesus the Son, we learn that God gives eternal life to all who trust in him. So as we look up to God, we see him as Father, as King, as giver of eternal life to all who trust in him. And then in downward response, how should we respond to this truth? We do that with praise and worship. But verses 2 through 6 say this, since you've given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you've given him, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent, I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So Jesus accomplished the will of God. Verse 6 says, I've manifested your name to the people you've given me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. How does Jesus respond to the truth of who his Father is? He responds with submission, surrendering his life to God as his Father. He prays in alignment with God's kingdom purpose, that the kingdom of God would expand into the lives of people, that God desires to give eternal life. That's all who will trust in Jesus. He asks God for his kingdom to expand through the eternal life of people who would see Jesus as their king. He also, we respond like Jesus when we ask him to make us know Jesus and make Jesus known to all the people who are in our lives. That's how God's kingdom expands, and we become a part of his kingdom expansion. So upward, who God is, downward in response by asking that his kingdom would expand and come into the lives of those who are far from God but close to us, a surrender to the will and the word of God, that we would keep his word as the early disciples did. And then we move inward. What should we ask God to do in and for us? Well, there are two verses specifically. First, verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Last week we saw that word sanctify literally means to be set apart for the purposes of God. In other words, to become more and more like Jesus. So Jesus prays for us to be sanctified. And I don't know about you, but I think it's a good thing to pray what Jesus prayed. So we pray that we would be sanctified, that God would give us daily bread, strength by the power of his Spirit to make us more and more like Jesus. Verse 20 says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be, that they may all be one. So he asks that God would sanctify them. And there he says, God, would you unify them? Would you make them one? Ask God to fill your heart with the things that make for unity with other believers, like grace, forgiveness, patience, and love, inward, daily bread. God, do these things, give these things to my life. And then moving outward, what resistance will we face in the world that we live in, this broken and sinful world? Well, verse 15 says that we should pray in light of that, that Jesus says, do not ask that you would take them out of the world, Father, but that you would keep them from the evil one. And the question becomes, where in our life do we see the activity of the evil one trying to destroy or attack the work that Jesus desires to do. Let's pray that Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit would give us grace to overcome those things in our lives. So just from that text, upward, downward, inward, outward, there are those truths that we are going to pray, and that's how we'll pray this morning. We're going to start with a time of prayer, just quietly preparing our hearts to approach the Father, and we'll move upward and downward in this first few minutes of prayer, but we're going to actually begin with a song that expresses our heart. And use this song as a prayer that you would begin, and it's the song, Lord, I Need You. That you would come to him and say, God, I need you to do in me what only you can do in me. And that's what this song will represent. Then we'll move into a time of upward worship prayer, downward response prayer to God.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need.
Heads bowed. Time of focused prayer. Think about who we just saw God to be from his word. He's your Father. If you're trusting in Jesus, God is your Father who's adopted you as his child. Right now in prayer, would you just give thanks that God has made you his child, that he loves you, that he cares for you. Give praise and worship to God in prayer as your Father. We saw in that text that Jesus, the Son of God, is God in the flesh, worthy of glory. Would you pray that God the Father, through the work of Christ, would be glorified in you? Read in those first verses that Jesus is the ruler, the king who has all authority. His power and sovereign authority over all things. Would you think of something in your life that feels out of your control and reflect on the fact that Jesus is in control, that he's stronger than that thing in your life? Would you give praise to Jesus in prayer? That he has authority and power over all things, even the things, especially the things that feel so deeply out of your control. Giving praise in prayer. Saw that Jesus is the source of eternal life for all who trust in him. If you're trusting in Jesus, you have eternal life. Would you praise God that this life, this world, isn't all there is for you, but you have eternity to spend enjoying the presence of God forever? As we move downward in response to the fact that Jesus is our King and God is establishing an eternal kingdom through Him, would you pray that the kingdom of God would expand through your life? Pray for your ones that they would come into the kingdom by seeing Jesus as their one true King. Pray even in this room that if anyone doesn't know Jesus, they would bow before Him and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. And maybe that's you. If you've never trusted in Jesus, right now in prayer, would you acknowledge that you need Him and bow before Him as your Lord and Savior, claiming His perfect life, His sacrificial death, and His resurrection to be the basis by which you can be forgiven of your sin and restored to God as your Father? Would you trust in Jesus, and would you pray for others to trust in Jesus as their Lord? Would you surrender your whole life to God by saying, "Your will, not mine"? And maybe there's a very specific area for you this morning where you know that's very hard. You've been struggling to let go of it. Right now in prayer before the Lord, would you say, "Your will here, not mine"? And maybe you need to just ask for help to let go of that place in your heart. You struggle to say, "Your will be done." Just spend time asking the Father by His Spirit to give you a submitted will, a surrendered heart. Father, we praise You for who You are. We glorify You for who You are. You are our Father who has adopted us as Your sons and daughters. You love us. You care about us. Right now, Your heart isn't far from us, but You are very near. Thank You. We praise You for Jesus, who's so worthy of glory because of His work to pay for our sins at the cross, suffer and die in our place, to be raised from the dead to show His victorious power, also that You would be glorified and that we would be reunited to You as our Father. Thank You, You gave us eternal life through Jesus. And Father, we pray that Your kingdom would expand in and through our lives, that those around us each day would come to know Jesus through us as Christ lives in us. And so, Lord, we trust that for that to happen, our hearts would begin to reflect Jesus as we do Your will. So may we be surrendered to the power of Christ in us. May You take our whole lives as we yield to You and submit to You, saying, "Your will in us, Your will in our families, in our marriage, Your will in our work, Your will in us be done today as it's done in heaven." We praise You in Jesus' name.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His will, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Him more and more.
as we move from upward and downward and reverence and response to God and into a place inward, asking for daily bread, his provision in our lives, his work in our lives. What are we asking him to do? Well, what does Jesus ask in John 17? Two primary requests: to sanctify them, make them more like me. Make them more like me by the truth of your word. And then he says, unify them, that they would be one as we are one. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of his word, that Christ would live in us, that we would be more like Jesus. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, that we would show love and grace and forgiveness to one another. So we pray, God, by your daily bread and power through Christ in us, we pray, sanctify us, make us more like Jesus, unify us, bring us close to one another, and don't let anything separate us as your people. We want to pray those things. And here's what I want to invite you to do. If you are with someone that you feel comfortable praying with, that you would just sort of partner up together. Now, I know that there are many of you who may be here by yourself. You may not feel comfortable praying with someone who's just next to you, and that's okay. That's okay. Some of you may not be believers even. You're here, you're just checking a church out, and that's okay. We're grateful that you're here, and we do not want to heap shame on you. You can just kind of quietly sit and close your eyes and be between you and God. That's fine. But if you feel comfortable, maybe with a spouse or a friend or a family member who's sitting next to you, I would encourage you to partner off and pray this with one another. God, make us more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. And as the Spirit of God leads you in that prayer, follow after him and then unify us. God, help our hearts to show the grace and forgiveness, that we wouldn't have bitterness or unforgiveness that would be part of our hearts. So let's spend a few moments praying when we're comfortable with one another, asking God to do this inwardly in us, sanctify us, unify us. And as you feel comfortable, pray that alongside and with one another.
carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the get to the Lord in prayer.
Upward, reverence to who God is as we see Him revealed in His Word. Downward, responding to the truth of who God is as revealed in His Word. Inward, asking Him to give us daily bread, grant us the resources we need to walk according to His will and His kingdom purposes, especially in relationship with one another, that He would sanctify us and unify us, and then moving outward, we pray just like Jesus prayed in the model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here in John 17, He says, in the world, this is chapter 16, He says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. Do you know what He says next? For I have overcome the world. And here He prays in John 17, I don't pray, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them. You guard them from the evil one, that we would be guarded against the spiritual attacks of the enemy. Friends, the spiritual enemy of God is real and is at work, like a roaring lion seeking to devour you and your family. He is a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy, John 10 says. But Jesus has overcome the enemy. Your life is under attack. Your marriage is under attack. Your children and grandchildren are under attack. This community, our nation, is under attack. Did you know that? Where is he at attack mode in your life? Where are those places that you see the work of the enemy? Would you come to the Father in prayer and say, Father, I claim the victory of Jesus here. Give no room for the enemy in my life, but let me experience the overcoming power of Christ, that as I live in this world, I would live in the victory of Jesus. Would you bow your heads and let's make that our prayer moving outward? Where in your life today do you see the enemy of God trying to attack, to destroy, to dismantle the work of God in you, or your family, or your friends, or this church, this community? Where do you see that? Would you come before the Father claiming by faith the victory that Jesus has overcome by the blood of his cross and the power of his resurrection? The enemy has no power in your life. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in this world seeking to destroy you. Would you claim by faith the power of Jesus? Pray that God would keep your life and guard you from the power of the evil one in that place in your life today. pray for your marriage and your family, those closest to you and your circle of influence, that the power of Jesus would be on display and the work of the enemy would be defeated there. Would you pray for our nation, that the darkness and decay would be overcome by the grace and power of Jesus in our nation? Pray for revival and renewal, that Christ would be high and lifted up and exalted. Father, we are under attack. We are living in a world at war. Father, we are living in the midst of darkness and brokenness. We are. And you said we would. Jesus said from the very beginning that they hated him, and those who follow him will be hated as well. And that the pinpoint attack of the spiritual enemy of our souls will come to us. So, Father, we confess, we acknowledge that our lives are under attack, our marriages are under attack, our families are under attack. But, God, I pray for faith to well up within us to believe that while we do have an enemy who is real, we have a God who's even more real. We have a Savior who is stronger. That we do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and soundness of mind. We are not held captive to the enemy of your spiritual work in us, but Father, we are liberated by the blood and power of Jesus Christ. Help us believe, Father, and live like we believe that greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to believe and live like we believe, that though in this world we will have many troubles and tribulations, that we would then take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. God, help us believe. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are in this place and those joining us online, where they have lived in a spirit of defeat. Some of them barely able to come into this place today because of the discouragement that they've had. That place where they're saying, I'm just tired. I'm tired. God, I pray that the power of Jesus by the Holy Spirit would be poured out on them, raising them up to believe that in Christ, truly we are more than conquerors through his love. And that nothing, height or depth, nothing, things present or things to come, Lord, nothing will separate us from your love. Lord, may we live in the victorious power of your love. And God, may we believe that everything we need, you've promised to supply. Every work that most needs to be done, you've promised to do. That no good plan of yours will be thwarted, but all will come to pass by your sovereign power. And may we believe that everything we need, our Father has it. And may you be glorified that we would go outward from this place, standing firm in Jesus Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, light shining in the midst of darkness, people brought from death to life, marriages restored, families redeemed, and our hearts, I pray, revived by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask all of this, Father, in Jesus' name.